Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Have you ever felt like a stranger? Like you didn't belong? Certainly happens for teenagers. That's when I remember feeling like a stranger. Like I was just trying to figure out how I fit into the world, and in fact, even into college, really. Just kind of learning how to be an adult. But honestly, even as an adult, it still happened to us all the time. If you're an adult, it really happens mostly when you're in a time of transition. And so, say you move from one job to another, and you got to try to figure out how all that's going to work and what your new responsibilities are. Or if you move from a job into like a retirement thing, like things seem strange. You're not used to it. It's not normal. Or if you move communities, if you move houses or move neighborhoods or move towns, all of a sudden you'll get somewhere and you have all these brand new people to meet. You're in transition. It feels strange. It feels awkward. Or, you know, consequently, if you start attending a new church, it can feel a bit out of place at first. Sometimes it's normal to feel like a stranger. And God willing, as you sort of acclimate and get used to a situation, eventually that feeling of being a stranger in the midst of people, it starts to fade away. Well, this morning, the Holy Spirit teaches us our own transition. How we were strangers before God until God called us. And then we became part of what is known as God's church. And so our epistle text, as it comes from the book of Ephesians, it was written to the Christians at the town of Ephesus. And Ephesus was this great big town in the first century. People who lived there, though, were not Jews. They didn't know God's Old Testament promises. The first time they hear about the one true God is when they're hearing about him in Jesus Christ. So they had been pagan idol worshippers who had been completely strangers to God. And yet, what does Paul remind them but that those who were once nobody, strangers, Gentiles, God has made them something different. He has transitioned them into being the church. He says, therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Well, truth be told, this is all of us. I mean, where do we find ourselves by nature? I mean, certainly, you know, like I was baptized in the church. Like I said, May 29th, 1988 is my baptismal birthday. So I've been in the church for my entire life. But yet before that moment, I was a stranger to God, alienated, not together with him, but completely separated. And why is that? It's because everybody is born into sin. Every single person, when they're born, they have this inclination to do what is selfish, which is the opposite of who God is. Truth be told, without baptism, without the church, without someone speaking the word, we'd be lost forever. As Paul says, we would be without God and without hope, which is the state of some people still. You know, if we consider the unbelievers out in the world for a moment, where do they look for comfort and hope if they don't believe in God? If they don't believe in Jesus? If they don't know of his death and resurrection, what do they look? Well, certainly they could look inward at themselves like they're used to. But that doesn't always work. What if the problem is too big for them to handle on their own? Well, they'll just bury themselves in their creature comforts. So when people start to find their help at the bottom of a bottle or in drugs or in their sexual appetites. And then eventually that will fail too. Maybe they'll look to the government. We all know how well the government works, right? Truth be told, everywhere we look for hope other than Christ will fail. And if you want to see the number one most striking example of this is when we make it to the point of death. Where is hope in the midst of death? Can you save yourself? Of course not. Can your creature comfort save you? Of course not. Can the government save you? No, nothing can save you in the midst of death except for Jesus Christ. This is why Paul, this is why the Holy Spirit reminds the Ephesians, reminds us the great importance of not being a stranger to God. Because it means we do have hope. Now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. That's all we had before God was hostility. And now in Christ, it's gone. It means you are blessed. Amongst all the people in the world, God chose you to believe his promises. He opened your ears that way you could hear the forgiveness of Christ preached and actually believe it. Not everybody has that gift. Not everybody understands that reality. That Jesus is crucified and risen, that's great, but you know that he's risen for you. That it's your gift. That it's your possession. And now you have peace with God. But how do we get here? It's because of the church. You believe this. You have been made part of the church because the church, God has surrounded you with it. That's what we hear, right? So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens. That means together, not just off on your own by yourself. You can't be a citizen of nothing. You can't be a citizen of one. A citizen is everybody who is comprised of a nation, right? So you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation and the apostles with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. Paul gives us this glimpse on what the church should be. Yes, you were an alien, a stranger, and now God has made you a part of this thing called the church. And it's not made up by man. I didn't invent it. You didn't invent it. It's been here far longer than any of us. God created it. God sustains it. God pours his gifts into it. In fact, God even uses you, the church. As his salvation plan unfolds for the whole world, he has good use of you. Because you're a part of it. A child of God who has a part to play. And so we have this imagery of a building, right? The Holy Spirit teaches us that how to be the church by using this image. And so what do we have? We have this foundation. As the church, where should our foundation be found? The apostles, which is the New Testament, right? That's what we have in here in the New Testament. And the prophets. That's what we have in here from the Old Testament. That's where God wants us to find the foundation for the church. And so if we're not standing on God's word, guess what happens to the church? It crumbles. It falls apart. That's just what happens to a building if you remove its foundation, or if its foundation is compromised, eventually that building will collapse in on itself. And so this is why as Christians we set ourselves to stand on this every single day of our lives. In the preaching of God's word, we stand on this book. And what we hear from the lectern, it's what's in this book. Because if we ever leave this, the church collapses. What else does Paul tell us is important? In terms of the church is that Jesus is the cornerstone. And so, yes, we'll read the Old Testament, we'll read creation, things that happened way before Christ was born. But you know what they're all about? God's salvation for you in Christ Jesus. The gifts that he pours out for you. We find it in every single story in this book. It's about how God cares for his church, even his church now. And what it means is it means we need to hear God's word on a regular basis. It means as the church, we need to come here and hear the absolution. We need to receive Christ's body and blood for our forgiveness and strength. As we heard in the children's message this morning, we need to remember our baptism and live according to the promises that Christ has given us there. These are the things that unify the church. These are the things that have not passed away for 2,000 years since Jesus left. These are the things that have always been here. Preachers come and go. Buildings come and go. But the Word of God and the sacraments that are administered, they remain forever. And if you are one who's received these things, it means that even if you die, you will remain forever too. Because they've been placed in you. Because the eternity of what Christ gives has now been given to you as a gift. But allow me to preach to the choir for a minute. You know, earlier we reflected on how utterly lost the unbeliever is, how they have nowhere to turn, no hope. But just as troublesome are those who have been welcomed into God's dwellings, right? Those who have been a brick in the building that is where the Holy Spirit dwells, that is the church. And yet they don't come. They don't see their great need to hear the absolution. They don't see their great need to feast on Christ's body and blood. They don't see their need to come here and to remember their baptismal promises. It's as if a single brick has somehow convinced itself that it can stand as a skyscraper all on its own. My friends, we need each other for encouragement in the faith. We need each other because Christ has promised to be with His church right here. And of course, you're all gathered. But there are those even amongst us, you know, members of this very congregation, who don't come, who don't hear these promises regularly. And since that's not you, my encouragement for you this morning is to go remind them. Remind them that they're not strangers to God's promises, and they shouldn't be strangers to God's house. Remind them that they have an integral, a very important part in the midst of our congregation here even. That they can live out their vocation amongst us, and that they can be an encouragement to us as they sit in the pews alongside us. Because sometimes we just need to remind the church that it's important to be the church. That this is the place where the bricks are joined together to make a dwelling place for God. It's right here, Zion Lutheran. This is the place where we're guaranteed to have our firm foundation in Jesus Christ. This is the place where we're guaranteed to hear from the prophets and from the apostles. This is the place where we rejoice in the crucified and resurrected Lord. And by God's grace, this will always be a place where that happens, where Jesus will serve us with Himself. My friends, Jesus has transitioned us. Each and every one of you individually, you used to be a stranger to God, but no longer. Because now, you're the church. You've been called, gathered, and enlightened into God's holy church to be His holy people and to receive His holy gifts. So this week, next week, for however many years God gives you on this earth, set yourselves to gather as the church, with Christ Jesus Himself being our cornerstone. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.